And so we're going to continue, y'all, in our sermon series. We're concluding our sermon series, Sweet Like Honey. We've been talking about the promises of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God keeps his promises. There are people that make promises. They don't keep their promises. That sometimes I've made some promises and I didn't keep my promises, but God keeps his promises. Psalm 119:103, how sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Honey, y'all, was one of the sweetest things that we could ever taste. And when something is sweet, we have a tendency to go back to it. Guess what? God wants you and me to always, always go back to the sweetness of his word, to receive his promises, that they are true and they are trustworthy. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. We got to read a little bit here, y'all. Give y'all the story. Very familiar story. We know the story of Nicodemus, Nick at night. And so we're going to read this story this morning. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Yeah. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Yeah. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. Yeah. The winds blow wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain why people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible, Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned. But the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Yeah. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Yeah. This morning, I want to encourage our hearts from this final promise we want to talk about this morning, the promise of eternal life. Yeah. The promise of eternal life. The promise, y'all, of eternal, I hope y'all glad about this morning. I'm already excited. The promise of eternal life. So there are some questions that money cannot answer. You can have a bank account filled with money, but money can't answer the question, what happens when I die? You can have an education, you can have all sorts of degrees, but education can't answer the question, how can I know God? Y'all, we can have a great reputation, y'all. We can be morally upright and all of that stuff, but listen, a reputation can't answer this question. Am I right with God? We can belong to a church, y'all, sing on a praise team, sing in the choir, y'all, be on the usher board, be on the deacon board, all of the sorts of boards, y'all, but listen, but there's a question, y'all, and maybe that question is in somebody's heart this morning, that do we have a relationship with God? Nicodemus, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Yeah. Nicodemus had religion, y'all. He had education. He had status. He had respect. Nicodemus knew the scriptures. But Nicodemus discovered something that many of us still perhaps need to discover. You can know about God and still need to know God. You can be religious, y'all, but still need redemption. You still need regeneration. You can be moral and still need mercy. You can be near Jesus and still need to be born again. Listen to this. Eternal life is not something we earn by religion, morality, or good works. It is God's gracious gift to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ and is born again. Y'all, because of our sinful condition, we try to find life in all sorts of places. In religion, in relationships, y'all, in achievement, in money, in morality, without recognizing, y'all, the only place that we find life and eternal life is in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. John chapter 3 introduces us to a man who came to Jesus at night. We come to tag this story as Nick at night. He comes to Jesus with a question, but Jesus gave him something. He gave him something greater. He gives the command, you must be born again. Behind this command, beloved of God, it's perhaps the greatest promise of all of Scripture. It's the promise of eternal life. And so this morning, I'm as serious as a heart attack. I hope you're serious as you hear this word this morning. Because sometimes I wonder how many people sit in the sanctuary Sunday after Sunday. How many people know scriptures backwards and forwards? How many people serve on auxiliaries and ministries? How many people set up in churches, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That they have yet to receive the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have yet to receive eternal life. So I'm serious this morning. And I hope this message finds its target in your heart. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I'm not asking, do you know how to quote a scripture? I'm not asking, do you know how to sing a praise song? I'm not saying, yeah, you show up to church, but do you know Jesus? The Bible says we have to examine ourselves to see if we are of the faith. And that faith is believing in Jesus Christ first and foremost. Do you know Jesus? So I want to give us just a few truths from this text this morning as we talk about the promise of eternal life. Let's look at the text. First, understand that the promise of eternal life begins with a new birth. The promise of eternal life begins with a new birth. Look at verses 1 through 8. I'll let you read those for yourselves. So John introduces Nicodemus, y'all, as a Pharisee, that he's a leader, that he's not like this arrogant guy. He's not uppity. That he's a religious man. He's a respected man. He's knowledgeable. Yet Nicodemus came to Jesus proudly and said, Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Look at the miracles that you're doing. You must be from God. That Nicodemus recognized something, that there was something different about this Jesus. As the word said, he spoke with authority, y'all. He healed the sick and he raised. There was something different about this Jesus. And Nicodemus recognized it. But Jesus immediately moved Nicodemus, y'all, from his religious credentials here. Jesus told him, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was saying essentially, listen, Nicodemus, listen, Nick. You come to this lie. You're a Pharisee, but your religion is not enough. Being born physically gives you physical life, but physical birth does not produce spiritual life. That physical life cannot save you. We need another birth. We need a supernatural birth. Spiritual transformation that only comes through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And throughout Scripture, God makes it clear that He desires transformation, y'all. Not merely religious activity, that we have so much religious activity going on around us. But he wants spiritual transformation. That transformation begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. God makes it clear he desires transformation. Ezekiel 36, 26. God speaking, God said, I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. I'm going to take away your stony heart. Paul declares in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. God desires transformation. Yes. Y'all, we used to sing this song. It used to go something like this. I looked at my hand and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. I don't know about the truth of that song, y'all. When I got saved, my feet were still crusty, y'all. They still looked like the same old feet. But here's the good news. Because he saved me with the hands that he gave me, I want to use them for his glory. With the feet that he gave me, I want to go where he wants me to go. With the mouth that he gave me to speak, I want to speak what he wants me to speak. I want to see what he sees. I want to go where he wants me to go. Salvation is God giving us a new life, y'all. Nicodemus thought the answer was in religion, but said, Nicodemus, you need regeneration. You need to be born again. I'm talking to somebody today. You need to be born again. So we have to ask ourselves, have I just changed my behavior? Or has Christ changed my heart? You can change your clothes, y'all, without changing your character. You can change your location without changing your nature. You can change habits, y'all. But changing habits, looking better, you know, that doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be born again. Amen. Jesus, and only Jesus, changes the heart. He changes our direction. He changes our lives. Church membership is valuable. It has its place, y'all. Being reared in a Christian home, many of us out, listen, we can speak the language, y'all. We can talk the talk. We can look the look. But knowing scriptures and all of this stuff is important, but here's the reality. That does not save us. That you need to know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins. That you must be born again. So Nicodemus, y'all, heard Jesus say that he needed a new birth. But he struggled to understand how that could happen. And perhaps there's somebody here today, you're asking the same question. How can God give me new life? So Jesus moves Nicodemus, y'all, from the necessity of new birth to the source of new birth. And I love this. Listen to this next truth. The promise of eternal life is rooted in God's love. Amen. Verses 9 through 16, read it for yourselves. The promise of eternal life is rooted in God's love. Hear me, beloved. God loves you with an everlasting love. Regardless of your past, regardless of what you've been through, what you've done, God loves us with an everlasting love. God loves us better than most of us can even understand or even fathom. God loves us with a hesed, a love that won't let us go. God loves you more than you will ever know. So Nicodemus asks, how are these things possible, Jesus? And Jesus explains about God's plan of salvation. And so this is where we arrive, y'all, at one of the most familiar passages of scripture in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice the movement of the verses, y'all. God loved. God gave. We believe. We receive life. Eternal life begins with God's love, not human achievement. The gospel does not begin with, look at what I've done. Look at me. Look at my success. Look at all the stuff I know. It doesn't begin there. It begins with God's love. Look at what God has done for us. Anybody glad this morning for what God has done for you? Don't fool me now. Look at what the Lord has done for us. Look at how he saved us. Look at how he delivered us. Look at how he keeps us. So Jesus God loved, God gave, Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise, y'all. It's the promise of eternal life. So Jesus connects his mission to the story of Numbers chapter 21, where Israel sinned against God. Some of y'all know the story. Turn back to it. Go to Numbers 21 when you're going to look at it today. That there was this, so Israel was rebelling against God. Moses was out there, y'all, trying to get them through the wilderness. They didn't want to listen to Moses. So they got upset with God. They got upset with Moses, y'all. And they said, why you bring us out of here? You took us away from Egypt. Well, we were in chains and we were oppressed. So when does Egypt look better than God's promises? They're headed towards God's promises. But they caught up in Egypt. So when you read the story in Numbers chapter 21, listen, God sent poisonous snakes to bite them, and many of them died, is what the text says. But God instructed Moses to make a bronze serpent and lift it up on a pole. And those who looked up, they lived. Jesus says in John 3:14 through 15 that just as Moses lifted up the serpent, the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. The people couldn't save themselves no more than we can save ourselves. Yeah, let me say something in case you didn't know it. We were all bitten by a snake called sin. And let me let the news flash. Listen, it was fatal. That all of us will die someday. But listen, God sent his Son into the world that when we die, we're going to live again, but we'll spend eternity with him. All of us were bitten by a snake. All of us are sinning, fellas, falling short of God's glory. We all need God's provision. And God provided a way, the way he provided through his Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. Look up and live, somebody. Look up and live. Look up and see him. Look to the cross. Look to Jesus. Look up and live. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We need Jesus. When you couldn't reach out to God, God reached out to you. When you couldn't fix yourself, Jesus showed up and he did it for you. Y'all, when we were slipping and dipping and tripping, he showed up, y'all, in our circumstance, and he delivered us and he saved us. When sin had a death sentence over our lives, Jesus stepped in and he gives us eternal life. So we ought to be grateful this morning that God's love made a way for you and for me. And let me pause, y'all. We got a few moments. Let me pause and just say this. I'm talking about God's love. By this shall all men know that we're Christ's disciples by the love that we have for one another. Y'all, that love ought to be for us as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ. But you better believe that love ought to be for people that are in the world. People that may not have a relationship with Jesus. Because if we're just loving each other, y'all, what about the people out there that don't know him? That they need to know and understand the love of God. Guess how they get to know it? Through you and through me. So if we're just out there bashing everybody, y'all. Oh, you live in this kind of way. We ain't got the time bashing folk. Let them know about the love of God. We balance truth with love, y'all. We stand on the principles of God's word, the truth of God's word, y'all. We balance truth with love. So we ain't got time, y'all, to be out there being judgy and looking down our noses at folk. Show them the love of God. God's love sent the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Son came to save us. Third point, y'all, we're almost done. The promise of eternal life is received through faith in Jesus. Verses 16 through 18. So, we find Jesus says, everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The promise is available, y'all, but you got to receive it. Have you received Jesus as the Lord, Savior of your life? Faith is trusting Jesus Christ for what only Jesus can do. The issue is not whether God has provided salvation. The issue is, have you received it for real, though? John 3:17, I love this verse. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Too many people are just condemning folk. But Jesus came not to condemn, not to judge, but to save. And he's able to save to the utmost all that come to him. Jesus came to save. That's the heart of the gospel, that Jesus came to save us. The New Testament repeatedly emphasizes faith in Christ. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 reminds us God saved us by his grace. We're saved by grace through faith. It's our faith that saves us. It's the unmerited favor of God that saves us. Salvation is not some type of trophy, y'all, that we earn. It's what we receive. So that means to me we have to stop trying to earn our salvation, y'all. Stop trying to earn what God has already offered us through his grace, through his unmerited favor. Y'all, if we're not careful as Christians, y'all, we can fall so quickly back into that work mode. You know, we would feel really good about it. I showed up to church, y'all. I sang on the praise team. I ushered well today, y'all. I served at the greeter well today. If we're not careful, y'all, we can get caught up into this works mentality. But works can never save us. What we do can never save us. Only what Jesus did for us can save us. You trust your way into eternal life through Jesus Christ. The question isn't, have I done enough? The question is, have I trusted Jesus? The question is not, am I good enough? The question is, have I believed in the one who is good enough? And that's only Jesus. The question is, have I earned heaven? The question is, I have received God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, only through Jesus. So think about this. You're standing at the edge of a raging river. And you fall in. Maybe if it was Reverend Dexter, maybe somebody pushed him in. But you're at the. No, it's not Minister Jan either. but you fall into the river, and somebody throws you a life preserver. You don't congratulate yourself because the life preserver is out there. You don't pretend that you made the life preserver. You simply trust the one who provided, and you hold on. Y'all, that's what faith does. Faith says, Jesus, I can't save myself. I'm just trusting you, and I'm just holding on. I'm just holding on to my faith, and I won't let go. I'm just holding on. I'm just holding on, and I won't let go. I believe that Jesus died for my sin, and he rose again 3 days later with all power in his hand, and I'm holding on. And I won't let go no matter what. The last truth, y'all, when we'll be out. The promise of eternal life changes how we live today. It changes how we live our lives today. That when he saved us, he transformed us. Yes. He made us to be different, to live differently, to walk differently, to talk differently. Eternal life is not simply about what happens after death, though. Eternal life begins with a transformed relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said that those who believe in him will have eternal life. Notice the present reality. Eternal life is not merely something we wait to receive when we die. When Christ saves us, he begins changing us right now. We have eternal life right now. That we're already seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That we have eternity right now. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that we are raised to walk in newness of life. Jesus doesn't save us merely to give us a ticket to heaven. He saves us so we can live differently on earth right now. What does that mean, y'all? That means I can forgive differently. I can love differently. I can serve differently. I can endure differently. I can worship differently. I can praise differently. I can face trials differently. I can face death. Why? Because I have a relationship with Jesus. Because my future, your future is secure in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah, we live right now between the tension of already but not yet. That eternity is already ours. It's ours today. We're just waiting to receive it, y'all. And maybe I'm just crazy enough to believe that it's already mine. I haven't gotten it yet, but I know it's already mine. It belongs to me and it belongs to you if you know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sin. If you know that this world is not your final destination, listen, you don't have to live as though everything depends on this world. You can lose some things, some things, y'all, and you can still be all right. You can still have hope. Maybe you don't have a lot of money in your pocket, but you can still have hope. Sickness, y'all, can invade your body, but you can still have hope. Listen, you can face uncertainty and still have hope. You can stand beside a hospital bed of a loved one, and you can still have hope. Listen, folk can walk out of your life, reject you, turn their back on you, and you can still have hope. Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. I still got hope this morning. Anybody with, I still got hope. My hope is in Jesus. The promise of eternal life is based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are born again by his spirit. We are saved because of God's love. We receive salvation through faith in Jesus. And we live today with the hope of eternity. As I close, listen. Some people talk about heaven like it's pie in the sky. Like it's something that's far away. It's in a way off distance. Something that we just hope for. Maybe it's going to happen. But I came to tell somebody today that heaven is not just wishful thinking, y'all. That it's a promise. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. That where I am, you may be also. I came to let somebody know, listen, I got my piece of the pie. Jesus has gone away to prepare a place for you and for me. And I got my piece of the pie. The Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts. There's something inside of me that knows it's not going to always be like this, y'all. I got a piece of the pie, y'all. There's something that tells me, y'all, that I'm going to live beyond the grave. I'm going to be with Jesus one day. I got my piece of the pie, somebody. So, the word of God says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor enter into the heart the things that God has prepared to those that love. I got my piece of the pie, somebody. And one of these days, it may not be long. Y'all going to look for me, but I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be up there. I got my piece of the pie in the sky, y'all. I just believe it today. I know this is not a funeral, y'all, but it's good preaching, y'all. It's still good preaching. I got my piece of the pie, y'all. One day, one of these days, I'll rest with Jesus forever and forever and forever and forever. Let me tell you, I don't deserve it, and I know I don't deserve it. By his grace, by his mercy, by his blood, he did it for me, and he did it for you, and he deserves a praise this morning. Somebody praise God this morning. I got my piece of the pie. I'm going up to be beyond this. I'm going to see him one day, and I trust that, and I believe it. One day, I'm going to rest with Jesus, and that's all right with me. 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 I'm glad about it, y'all. I can shout about it. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for eternal life. The devil wants to tell somebody, listen, you don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. I can tell you that myself. I come into agreement with the devil about that. But one thing I know, Jesus says something different. He said it's mine. And I hold on to what he said is mine. I got my piece of the pie. Yeah, y'all, death will try to make you afraid, y'all. Folks scared to die. Listen, it's just one step that takes me closer into the presence of God Almighty. So death, when it's my time, bring what you're going to bring. But I'm going to step into the presence of God Almighty. I believe it, y'all. I have received the promise of eternal life that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So y'all keep on running. Keep on serving. Keep on praying. Keep on worshiping. Keep on praising. Keep on believing. Keep on looking up, y'all. Because one of these days, we're going to rest with him. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. We have the promise of eternal life. The promise of eternal life. It's mine. It's mine. It's yours. It's yours. If you know Jesus, it's yours, y'all. It's yours. Hallelujah and amen. So it comes down to this. Do you really know Jesus in the pardon of your sins? That this morning we extend to you an invitation that if you don't know Jesus, you can know him today. To place your faith in Jesus and receive his gift of eternal life, you must recognize you are a sinner who needs saving, that you need to be in a saving relationship with Jesus. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We confess our sins. What does that mean? Come into agreement with it. That we don't try to make our sins look good. We don't cover it up with other names. We don't try to, let me use my prettify. That's a preacher word. That we don't try to flowery up our sin, make it smell good and look good. No, it's sin. And sin stinks in the nostrils of God. It's sin. All have sinned. But we confess it. God, here's where I'm wrong. God, here is where I'm not in right relationship with you. We confess it. And then we repent. We turn from our sins and we turn to Jesus in a saving relationship. We ask Jesus to save us by his grace, by his unmerited favor. And then we turn over our lives to the rule of Jesus, allowing him to become the Lord of our lives. Does it happen instantaneously? Salvation does. But the sanctification part, the living it out, it's a process, y'all. 15 years in pastoring. Received Jesus at the age of 13 years old. And I'm still on the path. I'm still on the process. Oh, it's a process. That none of us are perfect. None of us always get it right. Y'all, that some days are better than other days, y'all. Some days I get up with a smile on my face, a skip in my step, and then something happens, y'all, and I say the wrong thing. And I won't say, I just say the wrong thing. It's and we all live that way. But one thing I know, even with my faults, even with my imperfections, that Jesus still loves me and I love him. And I have a relationship with him. That's the one thing I know. If I don't know anything else, I know this much. And so maybe you're here today and you're not in the saving relationship. You can receive him right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Ushers are standing right now. Their hands are extended. Won't you come right now? They'll lead you across the hallway to room number one. You'll meet with one of our new member ministry advisors. They'll gather information and we'll welcome you with open arms. Maybe you're here today and listen, you already know Jesus. You have a relationship with him, but you're not connected to a local church somewhere where you can worship with other believers, pray with other believers, praise with other believers, fellowship with other believers. Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. It's a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Not a perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. So we invite you in this moment, follow our ushers, the hands are extended across the hallway to room number one, meet with one of our new member ministry advisors, we'll gather information, we'll welcome you with open, why don't you come right now.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.